Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. 50 years ago, if you were an athlete practicing or playing in the unforgiving heat of summer, water breaks were unthinkable.
Well, did you ever hear of giving a hot, sweaty football player all the cold drink he wants? Never.
The belief was the longer you could stay off of anything, the better your performance would be.
And the longer you play without it, the tougher you are, and the tougher you are, the meaner you are, and the meaner you are, you'll be the better player.
So anybody that said, hey, coach, can I have a water break, was perceived to be a little bit less than tough.
It's a wonder we all didn't cramp up and die.
That's a clip from a new ESPN 30 for 30 documentary called The Sweat Solution, which chronicles the history of Gatorade. The drink began as an experiment to help the Florida Gators football team stave off debilitating dehydration during practice. 50 years later, Gatorade's now the largest, most successful non-carbonated beverage in the U.S. Neil Amder is co-director of the documentary, and he joined Virginia to talk about the surprising history of the popular sports drink.
So tell us about Robert Cade. He is the doctor who invented Gatorade. A little on his background.
Well, he is truly a Renaissance man, someone whose interests were as diverse as Studebakers, collecting Studebakers, playing the violin, growing flowers, and also just an excellent source of energy and enthusiasm for renal medicine, which he brought to the University of Florida when he came there in the early 60s. And he assembled a team of researchers, and in response to the Florida football team's need for solving this dilemma that they had of players going to the hospital with dehydration and loss of 20 pounds as much in a workout in the summer, Dr. Cade, this quirky little guy, decided to create a solution that has become and changed the whole face of sports training.
So how did he test it, and who did he test it on?
Well, what happened was, what was interesting, the coach at the time, Ray Graves, wouldn't allow Dr. Cade and his researchers to work with the varsity players, but he would allow them to experiment with the freshmen. So they literally bottled the sweat of the players who were in sweatsuits and gloves, and to try to find out what was in the sweat that they could replenish. And after looking through it and deciding what they had to replace, they came up with a solution that initially tasted so bad that the players themselves really, really hated drinking it. It was Dr. Cade's wife, Mary, who had suggested changing the solution to a lemony kind of taste. And so what they did was they squeezed lemons one night and brought that solution back to the players. P.S., Gatorade as we know it.
It's just such a funny little clip in the film. His wife just says, add lemons.
Yeah, she's a terrifically interesting woman, and the daughter, Phoebe Cade Miles, who is now launched and has put into play the Cade Museum in Gainesville for research and development, is an extension of Dr. Cade's contributions to medicine.
Well, what is the secret to Gatorade? Why does it actually work?
I think probably the solution is that they came up with what actually was being lost in athletic performance. And water was not necessarily the most conducive in the sense that you tended to get heavy-weighted. And I think the Gatorade got through your system much faster so that the players could respond to that. And what happened was when they tried this with the varsity in 1966, the football team, not only did they have a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Steve Spurrier, but the team was winning these comebacks in the second half of football games, and people were astonished when they went 7-0, went to a national ranking, and how did they do this? And that's when I wrote the first story on Gatorade in 1966 for the Miami Herald.
Wow, so you were really early on this one.
I was covering the Florida football team, and some of the opponents were kind of startled at how the Gators looked so fresh in the fourth quarter. And I had gotten a lead when I was up there one weekend and talked to Dr. Cade, and he explained this to me. And I wrote the story in the Herald. And then, of course, what happened was one of the great mysteries, which is in the film, Interestingly enough, somehow or another, when they went to play the University of Georgia in their rivalry in Jacksonville, the Gatorade never arrived for the game. And no one could figure out whether the truck that was sending it got hijacked, whether there was some other mysterious circumstances. But the players didn't have the Gatorade. P.S., they lost after leading at halftime. They were beaten badly 27-10. And that's when the myth of Gatorade continued to expand as to something that could improve athletic performance.
And Neil, did you try it way back then?
Oh, yeah. I was one of Dr. Cade's pupils, in a sense, because I wrote other stories about his involvement. He was also early on developed carbohydrate loading, which marathoners now do with pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cade substituted steak for, he would put what he called Gator Go, which was a high carbohydrate pancake-like breakfast for game day instead of steaks, and the players responded to that, and Gator Go became kind of legendary. And he fooled around with a hydraulic football helmet that he created, and he would have some of the players bang him on the head with a hammer to
oh
see whether
goodness.
It would help concussions. That was Dr. Cade, who was quite a remarkable Renaissance man, and I think has gotten the recognition now that he deserves over the years for his contributions.
We're talking with the veteran sports writer and editor Neil Amder about a film that he co-directed about the history and origins of Gatorade, truly a revolutionary drink in the world of sports. How did it make the jump from the Florida Gators football team to mass marketed to the general public for dehydration?
Interesting question, because in the film, Dr. Cade is quoted as saying that they never really made the drink for and never thought that they would be taking this to the general public. But I think when the word got out that Florida had this solution that was developed, what happened was Dr. Cade, who wanted it obviously to be something that would benefit, and interestingly enough, in the film as well, there's a segment when his daughter and a nurse talks about how Gatorade was being used at Chan's Hospital, a children's hospital in Gainesville, for newborn babies who were also suffering severe dehydration. And this is something that became instituted into the general medical practices in using Gatorade and that type of electrolyte solution to help with that. And I think what happened was other schools started to get the word out on Gatorade, and they started to develop it. And then they created a Gatorade Trust among the researchers there, sold the product initially to Stokely Van Camp, which began to market it, and subsequently it started to grow from there. And it has continued to grow over the years, and the statistics don't lie. I mean, in 2001, they had sold 339 million cases of Gatorade.
Yeah.
In 2013, which is the last year that they had it, they sold 632 million cases. So the increase is significant at a time when a lot of other of the sugary drinks are losing among health-conscious consumers. And here is Gatorade, which is continuing to show growth.
Well, we're talking about hydration all the time, not just for people who are engaged in sports, but it really is difficult to imagine a time when staying hydrated was not mandated for athletes.
I think it's definitely true. And I think part of what the evolution of these, a lot of the different sports training techniques developed. I mean, today it would be so much more difficult under NCAA regulations for a coach to authorize an experiment on a campus using football players as so-called guinea pigs in an experiment,
right,
keeping in mind this was 1965. But I think what is happening is that when you have visionaries who are able to see through these kinds of things and are able to see the benefits, you're seeing it in a lot of other areas as athletes become much more attuned to weight machines today than they were, let's say, back in the 60s when maybe they jog a little. Now everyone is into year-round conditioning, staying in shape. Much more weight training is done out of the season than it was done. And I think we're getting better athletes. We're getting more finely tuned. You're getting more women involved with marathons and training today than we've ever had before. And I think this is a sign that the public has become much more health conscious.
Well, you're also bringing up another point for me. I mean, when I was watching it, I couldn't help but think of Deflategate, right? It's going on now. And for the first time realizing, for me, I never thought about how an underinflated ball could make a huge difference. So 50 years ago, they didn't consider hydration. I'm thinking, Neil, you know, 50 years from now, are we going to hear about something that we wouldn't have thought of that's become the norm? You know, 50 years from now, are we going to hear, no, you're not supposed to stretch after working out?
I think it's evolving all the time. And a lot of times when you hear different training techniques that people are using and recommending, they'll tell you about, you know, running and its ills, let's say, versus some other cardio type, running on a Stairmaster or on an elliptical machine. People who are running, let's say, trying to run marathons, you know, 10 or 12 marathons, and then they wonder why they have a knee replacement or a hip replacement. I've never run a marathon. I've been running for 40 years, but I've run a couple of half marathons, and I'm still running today. And the great thing about it is that I think probably if I had been running marathons instead of reporting on them, I might have broken down myself. I would rather, in the long run, continue to have my healthy experience, at least as I go. And I think those are the fine lines that people draw up, and you have to figure out where your limits are.
Well, Neil Amter, what a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and best wishes to you, and stay warm up there.
Thank you.
That was Virginia Prescott speaking with Neil Amter, co-director of ESPN's new 30 for 30 documentary called The Sweat Solution.